Do you feel like you need God's encouragement and wisdom throughout the week to take hold of His promise to fly like an eagle? You come to the right place. Welcome to Eagles on the Hill. Let's join our host, Pastor Jeff Scheich.
Hey people, I am your host, Pastor Jeff Scheich. Thanks for joining us on this edition of the podcast. Well, we're headed into August. We're headed into the new school year, a lot of new rhythms in life as we begin to kind of come back from summer vacations and get ourselves going again in the fall. And so one of the things that happens typically for me in the fall, maybe it happens for you, is a re-evaluation of how I want my life to go for this next fall, winter, and spring timeframe, and a re-evaluation of my relationship with Jesus. How is my discipleship going, if you will? How am I going to follow Jesus more effectively, more closely in this next year? And part of that for me has always been, what groups am I going to be part of? Who am I going to gather with to do life together as a follower of Jesus? So to kind of talk about that, kind of give us some thoughts about that, I thought it would be good to reach out. I'm a part of Christ Lincoln, a pastor here, and so I wanted to reach out to our director of adult discipleship, Aaron Headland, bring him into the program, bring him into the podcast, and have him talk to us a little bit about discipleship and what it is to be a disciple of Christ in this stage of our lives. So, Aaron, thanks for joining us. Say hi to the people.
Thank you for having me, Pastor. Hey, everybody.
Yeah. So I'm sure that the fall, as we head into the fall, is a busy time for you, as you've got lots of ideas of how we can grow in discipleship, lots of people to kind of be caring for and helping them to grow. So one of the ways that we talk about here at Christ is called circles. We have this thing, rows, circles, arrows, dots, and circles. Circles are ways in which we gather in, not just in worship, that's rows, but in smaller groups to grow in faith and to follow Jesus together. So tell us what a small group is. I guess we'll just start there.
Yeah, it's a good question. It's also a big question. A lot of people answer that differently. I even did an experiment here within our congregation where I asked people, you know, what is a small group? Give me a sentence about what a small group is. And you get lots of different answers. None of them are wrong necessarily. I don't think I ever heard anything I disagreed with, but various different answers. And so so this isn't necessarily the only definition of what a small group is. You know, where Merriam-Webster doesn't give us a definition of a small group. But we've come to one for our purposes. We've designed it intentionally to help us kind of foster some health in how we are gathering as small groups. So you see it on the screen there if you're watching. If you're listening, I'll read it to you. A small group is a group that gathers routinely, like a family, to become more like Jesus and to serve their neighbors. So as a definition, we wanted to make sure it was intentional to speak to not only what this is, but to foster some health in the context of how we do these. So those clauses there.
Let's go through those clauses one by one. A group that gathers routinely.
Yeah, we picked the word of yeah, a group gathers. That's what it does. That's kind of the idea of a group. I know in our digital age, we can gather online, I guess, but we desire for people to be together in person, to gather routinely. Routinely is an intentional word there. For people to be developing deeper relationships with one another, but also to kind of foster an identity as a group. Getting together on a routine basis is an important part of what a small group is. And so we say gathering routinely. It might be weekly, it might be every other week. Any more distant than that, it's the word routine starts to fade a bit.
That becomes hard.
And so, yeah, our group meets weekly. That's what we've chosen to be our routine. Our rhythm of the week. You know, we have a group that has lots of little kids, and so there's things like illness and things that keep some of us away at times. So we have grace for that. You know, it's not that rigid, but it Tuesday nights, that is the only thing on our calendars, and we've committed to one another that's what Tuesday night is for.
Tell me about that.
Routinely like a family. We picked that word intentionally because a family, whether it's intentional or not intentional, develops rhythms and norms, and a small group does the same. We gather like a family. So, for instance, my family growing up, you know, there were spoken and unspoken rules or norms of the family. You know, we had a curfew. when I was growing up. That was a thing. It was, you had to be home at this certain time, and that was that. Now there may be less rigid. We're all adults in our small group. And so a norm of the small group, for instance, is that we let each other know when we can't be there. So like I said, we meet routinely on Tuesday night, and there are frequent occasions where things come up that somebody can't be there. So a norm of our small group family is that we're going to respect each other and honor each other enough to let everybody know when I'm not going to be there and why. It does lots of things for us, but it fosters a deeper affection for one another. I get to know what's going on in people's lives. If there's a reason why they can't be there, that's probably a good thing for me as a family member, as a brother in Christ, to know. And it shows honor to one another. It's just a healthy family rhythm. And that's among others, but like a family. So we kind of develop our own little familial culture as a group.
And that really shows the importance, kind of a characteristic of a small group, that the people in the group are important. It's not like I've led Bible classes before, and you never know who's going to show until they walk in the door. And whoever walks in that night, you teach. And then you go home and don't necessarily have interaction with each other, whereas a small group is designed, I'm hearing you say, to foster that interaction, to foster that care, to foster, I'm guessing, my small group, we pray for each other, yes, to foster that kind of doing discipleship together kind of thing. So, yes. So your next phrase is become more like Jesus.
To become more like Jesus, yes, it gives it purpose. A small group is not just any other group that exists in your life. It's not just the group of parents that meets in the bleachers because of a basketball game or whatever the case may be. It gives it purpose. If we're not growing in our Christ likeness, if we're not being transformed by the gospel in the context of our group together, what are we here for? And so that clause there in the definition, make sure that we keep the purpose of what we're doing first and foremost. Is several places in the New Testament where it's Jesus and his apostles were very clearly cared about us becoming more like Christ. Paul says, follow my example because I'm following his example. It's growing in our Christ likeness is something that our small groups are uniquely designed to help us do. Mm-hmm. So that's part of the definition. Yeah. Good. And then to serve our neighbors, that's kind of a byproduct of becoming more like Jesus. But again, the small group is something that's uniquely positioned, because it's not always inside the walls of the church. It's not constrained to your work life and the rules and norms there. We create this family culture where we're becoming more like Jesus, and we can leverage our resources and our time and our gifts to serve one another in the group, but also serve the community around us. So small groups are uniquely positioned to be a light to the world, to show people that we are followers of Jesus and our lives look different by serving our neighbors.
Mm-hmm. So a small group is a group that gathers routinely, like a family, to become more like Jesus and serve their neighbors. I think that's a great definition. I think it's great. It really captures kind of what I would picture a small group being. Okay, so that's what a small group is. And a number of our listeners may be in groups that either have some or all of those characteristics. A number of our listeners may not be in that kind of small group setting, may have experienced coming to worship, which we call rows. They may have experienced a Bible class to go and sit at the feet of a learned person. Maybe not sit at the feet, that's an old expression, probably sit in a chair, but of a learned person and really soak in knowledge. So I think Bible classes are great and Bible studies are great, where we get to kind of interact a little bit, maybe with that leader a little bit. Small groups kind of uniquely different, and it feels like, if I've never been in a small group, so here's my question for you, long-winded question. I'm a little bit scared of being in a group because I've never been in one. I don't know what it's going to be like to share like a prayer request with a group, or I don't know what it's going to be like to, if I have to read out loud. That's going to be a little scary if I have to read the Bible out loud. Or how do I get over that? If I really want to experience this, but I'm afraid of it, how do I do that?
Yeah, I don't think that's a totally invalid thing. I realize that's normal. In fact, the first time I was invited to a small group, I've been a part of groups generally growing up in the church, but the first time somebody invited me specifically to a small group, it was through my wife. She's the one that got the invitation and said, you know, Aaron, I'd like to go to these people's home, to their living room, where we don't know anybody except for this person they invited me.
Yeah.
My first response was, no, I don't think I'm interested in that.
Right.
And by the grace of God, for whatever reason, I twist my arm. I found myself in that living room. And frankly, it changed my life. I know not everybody has that experience the first time they go somewhere. There was a unique group with really talented and God-fearing leaders. But so there, I guess I'm conceding that there is a level of vulnerability to showing up to a place like this. But I think through the challenge of putting yourself in that vulnerable spot, and there's different levels to that. You're not, you know, always have to pay out loud, pray in public the first time you go, or read out loud or something like that. Mm-hmm. The goal of the group is not to make you uncomfortable in that way. But through the pain of vulnerability is the joy and blessing of all the fruit that comes out of a small group. And so I would say you're not alone in the feeling of a little bit of timidness or even fear to show up to a small group. But I can assure you that on the other side of that fear is a joy and an experience in life that you won't have without walking through that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and maybe, I don't know if you're an introvert. I'm an introvert. So that makes, you know, small group kind of, I can identify with those sense of, oh, I don't want to do that. I'm guessing maybe if there's extreme extroverts, which I can't really identify with, but anyway, that they'd be like, oh, let's go meet a whole bunch of new people. Let's sit around in a circle, you know, like, for me, that's a little bit, I don't know, you know, I've done it enough now that I'm more comfortable with it, but I think, you know, what's the saying? No pain, no gain. Yeah. I'm not saying it's painful necessarily. I remember, though, I had a group of people in my living room a couple of years ago, and I could tell some of the guys especially were in pain. You know, I felt like they had their arms twisted behind their back by their wives, kind of like maybe you that day. I don't know.
Yep.
And but those guys now, I talk to them, and they love their small group. They're like, that was the best thing I ever did, but I did not want to do it at all.
Mm-hmm.
I did not want to do it, but it was the best thing now. It's the best thing I ever did.
Yeah.
Which I find hard to believe because they're 60 years old and that's the best thing they ever did. That's amazing. You know?
Yeah. And something. So,
yeah.
I heard a term recently, an omnivert. I think I'm an omnivert.
An omnivert. What is that?
I'm like 50-50 or 60-50, something like that. Because my experience is usually on, not every time. There's some weeks where I go, it's Tuesday. It's been a long day. I would love to grab the remote and put my feet up.
Mm.
So the introvert in me is saying, I don't really want to go. But every single time without fail, never once have I left group time and not had a jolt of energy. So I think that the 50% of extrovert in me is it gets life from genuine, real relationships with people who also love Jesus, who are wrestling with real questions, or sometimes just enjoying community and fellowship together.
Right.
And that's something that, you know, if I could give a small group maybe three pillars to say, what does a small group kind of do? Sure, we study together. We develop rhythms of discipleship, like praying, reading the Bible, asking hard questions, things like that, together as a group. So it's something that I don't just have to do on my own.
Mm-hmm.
But it also fosters community in an intentional way. There's times where we say, you know, we don't have to do a study tonight. Tonight, we can just enjoy each other. We can open a bottle of wine and share a meal or go to a park, or we can do something where we grow together socially in relationships. Mm-hmm. That's not a waste of time as a group. So that's the second thing is kind of community, study community. And then the third thing would be to serve our neighbors. So that's some form of service. And a lot of times that maybe takes time for the group to find some identity to say, what are the ways that we can use our gifts to serve each other and to serve other people? And so that's kind of a good 30,000 foot view of it. Say, what does it do? It studies, it fosters community together, and it serves people.
Yeah, and a lot of people I meet, you know, people who walk in the door at church or meet wherever, you know, they're looking for community. And yet, are they willing to take the steps, no pain, no gain, to take that step to go, okay, I'll do this because I can see that it could really result in some great community. And you mentioned the serving piece, which I think is important. You know, as I sit home and think, you know, do I want to, you know, call up People City Mission or City Impact and volunteer? I'll sit on my couch and watch TV. And so I'm not spurred on to do that. But in the context of small group, where it's like, hey, let's get together and go do this, and we encourage each other, that's the way to grow in our Christian faith, is by that encouragement of each other to, we should be doing this, guys. Come on, let's go. Yeah. And then we have fun doing it because we're together with people we know and we're blessing others, and it's great, you know?
Yeah. And I think the challenging part of that, studying things in the Word, committing time to fostering community, and stepping outside of our comfort zone to go serve people, whether it's the City Mission, maybe it's at the church, maybe it's inside the group. In our group, one time, we there's a ton of kids that are a part of our group, with all of our children. But one time, we baked a bunch of frozen meals and gave them to the church so that they could give things away. Now, our kids got involved in that.
Sure.
I guess committing ourselves as a group to challenge one another, that adds this level of, I don't know if transcendence is too heavy of a word, but to say this group is going to do hard things together. It's going to commit to very real things that we will do and become. It's changing us into Christ's image. If it's not doing that, it gets boring. I can't tell you the number of times I've talked to people either in this role or otherwise, and some of the groups that I've been a part of in the past, frankly, we haven't had that element of challenge, not to say like, hey, we should be doing these hard things, but to say we've gotten lazy or apathetic in our pursuit of becoming like Jesus and serving our neighbor. And when it doesn't have that level of purpose, it becomes boring, and it's only a matter of time before it fizzles and dies. Maybe it's quiet, maybe it's loud, I don't know. But I do think having that purpose that is more transcendent, it's outside of ourselves, it is the small group comes under the umbrella and the mission of Christ's church, which is to go and make disciples. And so, and that's where I said, I keep using that term, a small group is uniquely positioned, because it's fostered community. It experiences the fruit of the goodness of following Jesus and being in a community. But it also is in a place where it can go on mission. It can go and serve neighbors. It can invite people in. It can show other groups how to do it the way they do it. It's under the umbrella of going and making disciples. So small groups are uniquely positioned to do the work of the church.
That's great. So maybe how about if we end this way with a challenge to our listeners or people who are watching us or whatever. If you are part of a small group already, to kind of take a look with your small group members, maybe have them listen to the podcast as well, evaluate how you're doing. Where do you need to be encouraging each other in your small group life so that it doesn't get stale, so that we do encourage each other to become more like Jesus? And if you're not in a small group, or kind of feel like, oh, I need to make that kind of move this fall, even though it's a little bit scary, contact your pastor or a church leader wherever you are. If you're at Christ, you can certainly contact, and you know Aaron Headland, our Director of Adult Discipleship, you can certainly contact him. Or you can write us at Eagles on the Hill, and we'll kind of make sure we'll do our best to make sure you get connected somehow. So how about we end that way?
Sounds great. I love it.
All right. Super. Well, thanks for coming on, and we'll say goodbye and close it out. So thanks for being here, Aaron.
Thanks, you.
All right. Well, again, want to encourage you to write us at eaglesonthehill211@gmail.com. If you want to get connected to a small group or want to give some input feedback, write us, let us know, and I can even get you connected with Aaron Headland if need be. So let us know that. Remember that those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength and soar. They will fly on wings like eagles. Claim that promise of God for you today. He's always faithful and always true. Thanks for listening to the podcast.